I want to ask you to listen. I'll try to stay focused. There are so many things to say concerning the future kingdom that is coming, what it will bring. We're going to be, if the Lord will and spare us, we will be considering this for some time on a personal level and trying to bring some studies about this in the days ahead. I'm sure it's going to need to be broken down into smaller parts. But try to follow with me. I can see that perhaps the first reference will be in Matthew chapter 3. We'll just kind of refer to some things there. I've got a string of references. We can't possibly go there. I'll try to share as many of them as I can. And I do have a document if you want that. I'll try to follow it. There are, when we consider the kingdom of God, sometimes we don't go far enough back. And that kingdom is first implied in Genesis chapter 12 when the Lord had called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And he says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. That's the beginning of, and then later about Genesis 17, he will mention and make nations. And so the kingdom idea begins that early. And then if you follow it through, it begins to take more and more form, especially as we watch the nation of Israel. They begin to desire a king, which all of this is the Lord working. It's for them rebellion. In Samuel, we see that. And this kingdom begins to be more manifest. In the parables, kingdom parables of Matthew chapter 13, there is revealed an overall picture of the progression of the kingdom through the history of the earth, and it is well worth your time to take again a look at these kingdom parables. It gives a progression of the kingdom through the history of mankind. First, it shows the various subjects and their reaction to it when they hear of the kingdom in verses 3 through 9. And 19 through 23. Second, it shows that there are two kinds of subjects in this kingdom and how they came to be in it. Verses 24 through 30 and 37 through 43. All of these in Matthew 13. Third, it shows that it shall incur an aberrant growth. Now, this is interesting because at the end of the third century, Christendom, if I can just say it that way, took a huge turn of heresy in that day and began to say that, it took in this heresy, it began to grow in a way that it had not done to this point. And so Protestants and Catholics see a good growth of the mustard seed, for example, into this tree. They see something that's good when it's not anything that's good at all. When you keep with the scriptures and see that it grows into such a tree that the fowls of the air lodge in the branches of it. And that's an evil significance. You get that from the dreams of Joseph, and you also would get it from following it, this type of fowls of the air, in the New Testament Gospels, the Gospels there. And then next there would be, with this aberrant growth and the fowls of the air lodging in it, there will be leaven introduced again at the end of the third century, the 200s. Instead of seeing it as an evil thing, they see it as a good thing. But I want you to understand, the churches of Jesus Christ always have understood that the kingdom would become corrupted, become what it should not have been. And so in this particular peril, through evil doctrine, corrupt doctrine, false doctrine, that's the parable of the unleavened bread. Then next, there's going to be in it, again, great error occurring at the same time, that in the kingdom is the nation of Israel, the treasure. Remember that? Okay. Big error. They began to say in that day that Israel and the kingdom and our next parable, the church, are the same. That's a huge heresy. Terrible. And last of all, in the seventh parable, we see that it shall be purged and restored to what it should be, the cast net. Now, many of the saints, brethren, it's a struggle that we have all the time. It's not going to stop. And by the grace of God, the ministers must continue to chase this thing down when we lose sight of the wonderful things that are composed, the substance of the hope that is before us that involves the kingdom. There's no question that the hope of Christ's coming has been usurped from Christendom as a whole. When the Catholic and Protestant religions apostatize to teach that the church and the kingdom are one and the same, they renounce, in effect, the kingdom of Christ completely. They've turned it into something that it is not. Then the kingdom became a united political, religious state organization, something it should have never become. Then it began. Why would we today turn again to something like that? This stuff ought to make us shiver in our boots to see what's going on. It ought to make us repulse at the sound of teaching like this. But instead, we're beginning to think it's not all that bad. But it is. It is this form of government, church-state government, that has shed the blood of the saints of Jesus Christ from that day to this day. And we don't think it's that bad. Something's wrong. Into this kingdom, men may be coerced through every means possible, be it by war, by sacraments, by persecution, etc., till death, to all that reject it. But the kingdom of Christ is not the same. The kingdom of God is not the same as Israel and as the church. They're in it, but they're not the same. The kingdom is larger than that. The kingdom is not a political entity and part of this present political world system. The kingdom preached by John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus, and faithful ministers of Jesus Christ, that kingdom was preached of a future kingdom. For example, Matthew 3, 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In chapter 4, verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." 9, verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. 10, verse 7, as you go, he said to the 70 and to the 12, as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In 24, 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. The kingdom, the saints of God were to live in expectation of coming to earth one day is that future kingdom. In the very prayers that we raise up before God on a daily basis is thy kingdom come. Again, he said, our Lord did, seek ye the kingdom. He said to the disciples, there was one who, the mother, she desired two of her sons to be a part of that kingdom, have a special place in it. She looked forward to it, and she asked them, what boldness. But she had a perspective of a future coming kingdom. Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on my right hand, one on thy right hand, and the other on the left in your kingdom. She would say, when it comes, grant that. And you know what he said? To Joseph of Arimathea, he waited for the kingdom of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, it speaks there of God who has called you, saints of God, unto his kingdom and glory. Future prospect. Again, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you suffer. In Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings, speaking of their kingdoms, in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. And it ain't going to be some fictitious thing in heaven. It's going to be one that's real on the earth. How can we understand it any differently? In Daniel 7:27, the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom, where? Not in heaven, but under the whole heaven, under it, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Oh, praise God. Amen. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions shall serve and obey him. What a kingdom that's going to be. But not yet. Men are trying to make it happen now through their own efforts. But it's not by that. It's not going to be in that way. This kingdom would come to pass only when the Savior, Jesus Christ, returns. Then he alone shall receive his kingdom. Matthew 16:28, Jesus said himself, verily I say unto you, you saints, there be some standing here. Where? Where? Brother King just said about these great questions we ought to ask ourselves when we're studying, when we're reading the scriptures. Who, what, when, where, why? How? All these things. Those are important questions. Where? There's some of you standing here that shall not taste of death. Where? On this earth. Till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. In 20 verse 8, when even was come, he virtually said the same. 22:11, when the king came in to see the guests in the parables, he saw them there. Not some fictitious floating around in the sky and the clouds and whatnot. It's real. It's going to be here. And at midnight, there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. There were some that were waiting for it. And then again, after a long time, the Lord of those servants comes. He comes. Comes where? To earth again. To earth. Oh. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, the scriptures say, it shall come to pass that when he was returned, where did he go? I'll tell you where he went. He went into heaven. Where's he coming back to? He's coming back to this earth. And this will come to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, and he goes on. Then when Christ returns, he would remove from it all, not some, not just a part, but all that offend. All that know not God is comprehensive about them who will come into this kingdom. So it tells you right from the implication is he's coming back here because there's nothing that's like this that offends the glory. It's going to be here. This is where people are that don't belong in the kingdom. And he's going to come and he's going to remove all of them that know not God and that have obeyed not the gospel. You don't do that in heaven. You do that here. Now, in Daniel 2:44, the kingdom shall not be left to other people. This is it. There won't be a kingdom of the Persians and the Babylonians and of the Americans and of Europe and of China and of Russia and all of them. There's no more after this kingdom. The kingdom shall not be left to other people. Do you see it? This is it. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. In Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they'll gather out of his kingdom. They'll gather out of his kingdom. They'll gather out of his kingdom. Do you hear it? So he's talking about things that are going on here. He'll gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Verse 48, and cast the bad away. Well, that ain't something that no one in heaven would ever be cast away, right? It's got to be here. Listen and pay attention to the word. Ask the important questions. And don't you follow the false doctrine of Catholicism and Protestantism. When you hear it, turn away from it. You know, there are a lot of fine people out there that aren't leading you down the wrong path. There are people that say some good things, but they're leading you down this kind of a road. And I'm not willing to go there. And some of you aren't prepared to hear it. You're not prepared to discern these things, and you're being led away. You haven't got time to read your Bible, but you've got time to listen to audios of people that are, for all practical intents and purposes, heretics when it comes to the truths of Jesus Christ and the churches of Jesus Christ. Be careful. Jesus said, take heed what you hear. This is important. Pay attention to good people. I'll tell you what. I know I'm narrow. Pay attention to Baptist people for the most part. But even then, be careful. Jesus said in Luke 19:27, but those mine enemies, which should not that I should reign over them. Where? Where? Again, right here. Bring them here and slay them before me. In 2 Thessalonians 7, chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, that know not God and that obey not the gospel, that's comprehensive. No unbeliever will come into this kingdom when Jesus Christ comes again. Not a one. We need to pay attention to what it says. And to you, dear brethren of the Thessalonians church and of every church like them, to you who are troubled with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, you can just see the revelation vision of John. He's on a white charger. Is he going to come on a white charger? He's coming on a white charger. He's going to have a garment around him. He'll be guarded, and it will be dipped in blood. And it's going to say, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Will it actually say that? You bet it will. If it says it, I believe it. I need to receive it. When Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where can that possibly be? Right here. Right here. Who shall be, they will, who shall be punished with everlasting punishment, never ending, a fiery perdition of eternal destruction, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, he will be, and to be admired in them that believe in that day. His coming for us, the living saints, is going to be jaw-droppingly amazing, wonderful. And we're going to admire him. We thought we admired him. We're going to admire him. This kingdom is the last kingdom. There's not going to be any other one after this kingdom. It shall exist for eternity. Brethren, if we can't understand what it means, what this means, when the scriptures say that he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, for 1,000 years, for 1,000 years, if we can't understand what that says, something's wrong. If it doesn't mean what it says, we can't know anything else about any other scriptures. It's so plainly stated. 1,000 years. Praise the Lord. But we want to spiritualize it, right? To 1,000 years is a day, as a day is worth out to 1,000 years to the Lord. But it doesn't say that. You can't spiritualize. You shouldn't. You shouldn't even want to spiritualize this away. It's eternal. 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 6. Look at this one. I believe it's twice in this text, but let's read this one. Oh, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power. You know why? Because he's glorified. He's been changed to the very image of Jesus Christ. The form that our Lord Jesus Christ is presently in, bodily form and glorified, is the same form that those that see him when he comes and them that were faithful from Old Testament to New Testament times are going to come into that same form. They have to, because to see him as he is, they have to be like him. And what about these? Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. On these. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24, verses 24 and 25. Then comes the end. When he shall... We got to read this carefully. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father. When? In the end. Did you see it? When he shall have delivered up the kingdom. He had to first receive the kingdom in order to give it up to the Father, right? And so we're going to get to that here. Paul brings it up. But some people, and then so's the end, as if there's no earthly kingdom. That's not what this text says at all. Quite contrary to that. Then comes the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For what? For he must reign. He reigns first, and then he gives it up. And how long is that reign? 1,000 years. You know, is that clear? Is that clear when we just take the scriptures as they're written? Till he must reign, till he has put all enemies under his feet. That's what it says. We don't have to make it. We don't have to twist it. We don't have to rest it. It simply says it in plain English that I believe is written on about a fifth grade level. People complain about how hard the King James Version Bible is written. Well, that's because people aren't educated anymore when they go to school. That's not a problem with the Bible. That's a problem with what's going on in our society. Now, in Luke 19, verse 12, I think I jump around a little bit. Verse 12, 15, and 27. Luke 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a... This nobleman is representative of Jesus Christ. There's no question about it. Notice what happens. A certain nobleman went into a far country. He left into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and what? And to return. Amen. Oh. And it came to pass that when he was returned, what? Having received the kingdom. See it? But... Then he says, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, where? Here. Bring here and slay them before me. In Luke 1:33, he shall reign, Jesus Christ, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. 1,000 years here, but brethren, that's just the beginning. Oh, it doesn't stop. He takes it on into the new heaven and where there is a new earth. It's going to be there. And that's why it's called an everlasting kingdom. It has no end. It says, there shall be no end. Daniel 2:44. I may have read this already, but one more time I did. And in those days, in the days of these kings... Those 10 that we have great concern about that are the probably living right now. We're at that time. Those kings, in the days of those kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom where? Here. Which what? Shall never be destroyed. It can't be displaced. It can't be moved. It can't be shaken. It's permanent. As far as it cannot be changed here when it comes to pass. No other kingdom will follow. He says, we shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, and it shall stand forever. Those are terms that are just very emphatic. It's really good for us because if we didn't get it the first time, maybe by the second time, we've gotten it a little bit better. By the third time, we better have gotten that idea for sure. That's the idea. He brings her home. He doesn't want us to walk away with a question. This is sure stuff. This is sure. At the end of this kingdom, the history of this world as it is present, as it presently exists, is over. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 to 26. Then comes the end. Again, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy, this is very interesting. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Well, there's death in the kingdom when it comes to earth. There's still death. Now, those that are glorified, they can't be touched, right? The first resurrection, we read, they can't be touched to the second. Why? Because they're glorified. But there will be people that come into this kingdom, all believing, that will, let me just, you've heard my opinion, I'll say it again, that will give birth, have children, all that going on and on and on, and death will continue. They're in their natural bodies. And then at the end, what happens? What happens? Satan's been bound for 1,000 years and is released for a little season. And he musters up. You wonder, how in the world can it be with Jesus Christ in before their eyes that people in their natural bodies could come to the place where they can't believe him? Well, good night. They didn't believe him when he was here the first time. What makes the difference then? When you've got people that are, when it means that people are dead in trespasses and sins, that they had no spiritual ability to discern the things of God, That's the conclusion we come to. They can be easily misled. Suddenly. You know, what we must remember is when Jesus comes, he rules with a rod of iron. There's a reason it's a rod of iron. People in their natural bodies need a rod of iron. When there's misbehavior, and I believe it's mostly when it's public misbehavior, when someone breaks out and goes and steals, he's going to get punished for it. He's going to get punished soon for it. There won't be this junk that we see going on today where you're out on bail, free to go and do whatever you've been doing, and we'll hope you don't get caught in the meantime and then brought to court, and who knows what the end of that is, but most of the time it's nothing anymore, unless now you steal about $1,000 worth of goods. Until then, it's just a misdemeanor. Then it rises to the level some lower felony, on and on and on. That stuff's not going to happen in the kingdom of Christ. Now, Christ himself is ruling here, and the saints of God are also ruling with a rod of iron with him. You know, this isn't some new idea that when we're ruling and reigning with Christ, this goes all the way back. There's somebody back in the 200s after Christ's ascension that were saying the same things that we said today, which is he probably will set, in my opinion, But it was an opinion of a brother way back then that the Lord's probably going to put us to rule where we were, where we served the Lord. I don't know, but I think it's true. We're going to be in the earth, ruling, and we're not going to allow this. It grieves us right now to see this stuff, right? But it's going to stop. It's going to come to an end. There won't be sodomites all over the television screen. You can't watch a single show. You can't. There's not a single show that I could see anymore, or a commercial. If it's not outright sodomite agenda, it's implied. That's how this has gone. And how do we get to this place? Well, it was almost something in this country to boast about when we got our first sodomite appointed to some office. Now they're almost all that way in our councils or assemblies and such. So many. No one gives any thought. It ain't going to be like that in the kingdom. You know why? Christ won't stand for it. You know why? Christ's people, you and I, won't stand for it. This is their time. Their time's nearly over. We're not doing anything to stop them except preach Christ. That's it. But their time's nearly over. We're so close. Now, when Christ comes in his kingdom, the earth shall undergo fantastic, radical changes. You know, there was a lot of earthquakes taking place, serious earthquakes. Things were going on. The earth's going to be changed. The surface, especially, I mean, you read the last chapters of Ezekiel, the land, the topography has changed. It's wonderful. The earth will be changed as God outpours his wrath. The vials you read in Revelation, those are big time events. That's the judgment of this world. And what is he doing in them judgments? He's purifying the earth like he purified the earth in the days of Noah. He's purifying it of all the innocent blood that's been shed all the way back then to now. Purged. He'll wipe them off the face of the earth like a man would wipe a dish with a towel. It's going to be clean again. It's going to be catastrophic changes. We have several scriptures pointing this out. What a kingdom that's going to be, though. The knowledge of the Lord. You talk about it. That's going to be a day of a mega church. And it'll be a legitimate mega church, praise the Lord. Not this watered down, deceitful junk that's going on. What a kingdom that'll be. The knowledge of the Lord will be like the waters that cover the sea. Do waters cover the sea? That's what the knowledge of the Lord will be like. They're all going to know Jesus Christ is over there ruling and reigning. The curse will be lifted, the curse that we saw put on the earth. Not just on man, but on the earth. It's going to be lifted to a great extent, if not completely, but man's curse the toil, the labor, even some of that lifted. The predatorial nature in animals. I've got a string of scriptures. If you want, I've got them. I'll share them with you. But they're all there. You'd be surprised how many scriptures say this. But they won't say it to someone that spiritualizes the text.
Right.
You got to take it like it is. I'm looking forward to that day. I mean, how clear can it be? The days of a man will be like a tree. Well, that tells me it's going to be a long time. And he'll go out and be able to lay out in the woods. You probably had that same desire. Now, you might have done it, but I guarantee you had something with you to protect you. Yeah. And you still didn't sleep good. We could have our cannons out there, and we're still putting a barrier around it to let us know if there's something coming in. But in that day, it won't be like that. Even a child could play around on a snake's den, a hole, and not any problem at all. Nothing shall hurt in all my holy mountain. And what does the holy mountain refer to as you compare scripture with scripture? Kingdom. In all my kingdom, from one end all the way to the other. That's what it's all about. Man's life will be restored to like they were living in the days of before the flood, 900 years. All of that. And, you know, I've got a paragraph of scriptures that tell me that Israel shall be saved. They're going to come to the Lord. Or better yet, the Lord's going to bring them to him. I mean, I've got at least 20 probably written out right here. What a day that's going to be. I listened to an old rabbi yesterday. There was a Jewish believer. Now, he was in the wrong faith. There's no doubt about it. But he must have known the Lord. And he stood before his elder rabbi trying to tell him about Christ. And that old rabbi, he wouldn't have a thing. You're a heretic. You're a terrible man. And he took his book. This man, bless his heart, he tried his best to witness to this rabbi. And he gave him a book. And finally, the rabbi took it. And as soon as the man turned around, he slammed it into the trash can. They can't see it. But one day they will. He'll open their hearts. The whole nation. There's going to be no more war. Again, scripture. That's scripture. The earth will yield her fruit. We struggle to get our gardens to grow. It takes a whole lot of work. But then it's going to produce. Oh, it's going to produce like it was in the Garden of Eden. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what I'm looking forward to. Even if I die, by the grace of God, I believe, for having walked with the Lord as best I could by the grace of God, with that hope, I'll be raised, and you will be too, raised to enjoy this. This is going to be awesome. And who are we? Sinners saved by grace. Unworthy of the least of the mercies and of the truth. He's shown us, but he's shown us truth, hasn't he? It's profound. We're going to see this one day. Don't you let nobody talk you out of it. Amen. Believe it. Look forward to this. If you don't know exactly what it is, look forward. Ask me. I'll share it with you. I've got it. I'll give it to you. It's not copyrighted. It's free. It's free stuff. It's all yours to help you to expect what is coming when Christ comes. Whether we live or die, we're going to be with the Lord. And we're going to enjoy the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ.